Again, thank you everybody for coming today. My name is Derek Shanks, and my responsibilities as the Chief Commercial Officer at the Raven Air Group is looking after all our schedules, our sales, marketing, pricing, our frequent flyer program, our alliance relationships with other airlines, including Alaska Airlines, and all our communications. So I'd also like to introduce you to Missy Roberts. Missy is our Director for Marketing and Alliances. And we've both been working very closely with Alaska Airlines over the last 8 weeks to get where we are today. So again, thank you for coming. What I'd like to do today is just quickly run through and give you a bit of background for those who might not know about the Raven Air Group, what we do and where we fly, and then get on to, I think, one of the most important aspects for all of you in here is our frequent flyer program. I hope all of you should have had on your chair some frequent asked questions. A lot of those have been driven by the questions that we've had over the last 8 weeks, and also from all those who contributed to the questions through the radio station. And Hope is here, and hopefully some of you will have heard some of the answers from the interview that I did with Hope yesterday on the radio. But I think the majority of the questions you've all had, we've tried to answer here. And at the end, I will answer questions as best I can. But first of all, let me run through a little bit about the Raven Air Group. So the Raven Air Group currently has 3 airline certificates. We have Raven Air Alaska, which is our Dash 8 aircraft. We have 10 of those. We have Penn Air as a certificate, and we have 5 of those aircraft, the Saab 2000, which I'm sure all of you know. And then, if you see in the bottom left-hand corner there, we have Raven Air Connect. Raven Air Connect is the airline that flies under the certificate for smaller aircraft. It's like Grant Aviation. And we fly throughout Alaska to village communities, and I'll show you where we fly. But those are the airlines that we have under the Raven Air Group at the moment. These are the aircraft that we have. As I've already mentioned, the top left is the Raven Air Alaska Dash 8. That comes in seat configurations of 37 or 29. We have it in a 29 seat configuration because there are many airports that you can only fly with under 30 seats, and also which is like St. Mary's, Aniak, and Alaska, St. Paul, to name a few. So we have it in 29 seats and 37 seats. We will be using both of those aircraft in that configuration, particularly during the busy A season coming up the 26th of December. And the Saab is 45 seats. We also, those other aircraft you see there, the Caravan 208, the 207, we will have a Cargo Beach 1900, 2 of those based in Anchorage. And then we have 6 of our Beach 1900s, which are either up on the North Slope in Barrow, or they're over in Nome, or based in Fairbanks. So we have a wide network of 75 aircraft throughout the state. And we are the largest regional carrier here in Alaska. These are all the destinations that we fly to. We're flying to over 115, it's actually 118 communities throughout the state. We're up to over 800,000 passengers that we're carrying each year. We actually have more destinations than Alaska Airlines has in total. I always like to mention that, but all of ours are in Alaska. You'll see on there that some are dotted lines, which means we've got charter operations. We've been operating charters down to Alaska for over 10 years when it was Era Aviation and more recently Raven Air Alaska. But those other dotted lines are where we fly our Saabs and our Dash 8s. The little black lines is all our network of the flights we carry throughout Alaska for the communities out there. Importantly, not just passengers, but a lot of these communities are totally reliant upon us for medical travel, which I know you are as well, but also bypass mail, foods, medicine, etc. Some of these destinations totally rely upon us, and we also have competition from other carriers in some of those smaller communities as well. We started flying out to St. Paul earlier in the year as an EAS route, and I know that's one of the questions you've had as a community that's been raised in the white paper by the city. We have McGrath as well, which we fly three times a week to under the EAS program here in Alaska as well. But those are the only two that we have. We are proud to have over 1,300 employees here in Alaska, of which over 90% are living and based here in Alaska. We have quite a few of our pilots on our smaller aircraft, which do the 2 weeks on and 2 weeks off. So we attract a very good quality of pilots, because that's a lifestyle they really like. All our other pilots are all based and live in Anchorage. And we believe we actually influence another additional 8,000 jobs here in Alaska. It's a bit like the fishing industry. You have the base here, but then there's a huge amount that is secondary that's attached. So we believe it's around 8,000 additional Alaska jobs that we provide. Can you just go back up?
Yeah.
So just a little bit about who our customer base is. Unlike a lot of the travel industry here in Alaska, we are very, very reliant upon Alaskans, rural Alaskans, and people who are living in some of our major hubs such as Anchorage or Fairbanks. That is our customer base, the companies and the fishing industry, the oil industry. We're very reliant upon them as well. And we are very focused on schools. We've already, it's one of the questions we've been asked just to touch on that. So one of the first things that we did with the school district here is ensure that the seats had been blocked to get the school teams out and back, particularly during the busy season. We're doing that throughout Alaska, whether it's on our smaller beach aircraft or our Dash 8 aircraft. We have been doing that for many, many years, and that's why it was one of the first things that we tried to do, is ensure that the schools could get their teams, their bands, out to the important events away from the community so they can experience that. But we also have a lot of the post office I mentioned, bypass mail, Primail is a major part. So we've got a very good mix of revenue for an airline, whether it's bypass mail, freight, passengers and charter throughout Alaska. And then just a little bit about our commitment to our communities. At a very high level, those are the three that we really support as our majors, the Red Cross, the American Cancer Society, and then the ASAA to support all the sports. So those are our three major focuses. But we also are very involved and can, wherever we can, support the local communities, whether it's a raffle for the school or a local association. And you can, if you want to apply for all those, there is a place on our website that you can go to apply for any support on that side. Right, so let me talk a little bit about the Flyaway Rewards Program, which I hope, if you haven't all, I know you had some, please make sure you've filled out one of these for two reasons. One, to join, and secondly, we're doing some door prizes. So if you haven't done one of those yet, please do so. But just a little bit about it. It's different than the program you've been used to on Alaska Airlines Mileage Program, but it's very generous. We have 10 points for every flight segment that you take. So if you're going from here to Anchorage and back, that's 20 points. You only need 50 points to get a basic rewards ticket, and 100 points for last seat availability. So if we've got one seat left on the plane, you'll be able to purchase that with 100 points. And then also, importantly, if you book online, you get an additional 2 points. So for a return trip, you can actually get 24 points. At the moment, we understand and been listening to all of you about
the issue of not being able to use at the moment the Alaska mileage points, and that's obviously gone away. So we do have a double points program in place at the moment for any travel from when we started on the 14th of November through to the end of 31st of January. We're also giving 20 points for anybody who joins the program now. So you can quickly get up to earning those points for a free rewards ticket. So we're conscious of that. Let me go on to a little bit more detail of that. Oh, sorry, just go back up. The top right-hand corner here, you'll see that is a mailer that we're going to send out to everybody's home address here in Alaska. And we'll be doing that to, again, just remind everyone and highlight what the Flyaway Rewards program is all about. So we'll be doing that in the next week or so. This is just a little bit about the membership benefits. Basic is 10, but if you fly a lot with us, you get silver, and that increases the number of points that you get up to 12, and then 14 if you're a gold member. And then there's complimentary premium beverage. We do serve alcohol and snacks on our aircraft. We will not be serving, just as a point, alcohol during A season and any other all-out busy season in either direction. But we do serve alcohol on the flights, and if you're a silver or gold, you get a free premium drink. And then there's some guaranteed baggage as well, and you don't have to pay for our second bag fee either if you're silver or gold. So there are benefits from that. I'll touch a little bit more on some of the other questions I know everyone has about the program. I think I've got another slide. No. So let me touch on one of the things we've learned, particularly over the last couple of days, is that let me touch on the use of Alaska mileage points. You can still use your Alaska Airlines mileage points. Unfortunately, at the moment, not on Ravenair Alaska or Penn Air or Ravenair Connect. We've actually, in fact, been in discussions with Alaska Airlines for some time about doing that. We just haven't been able to do that. We are somewhat restricted in the system that we have. It's one of the original frequent flyer program systems, and we are going to enhance that next year. But at the moment, you can still use your mileage points out of Anchorage or intra-Alaska or down to the lower 48, but we cannot combine those with our mileage points at the moment for Ravenair Alaska. And I know that a lot of you have those. We understand a lot of you purchase miles when Alaska Airlines has their sales on. I've done it, and I know a lot of you do that. We don't currently do that. That is something that we will look at. The economics of it for us are difficult because we'd have to do it network-wide. We've got up to 80,000 members on our frequent flyaway rewards program. So that's something we have to look at. But we're conscious of that as an issue, and that's why we're trying to see how we can help you get the points as quickly as possible. Okay. One other thing, and I touched on it yesterday in the radio interview, I think it's on your frequently asked questions here on this sheet, but there's been some questions about if I'm going through down to the lower 48, whether it's Portland, Seattle, Los Angeles, New York, wherever it might be, do I have to buy two separate tickets? And the answer is no, you don't. You can purchase your ticket either through our own call center at Ravenair Group, or you can do it through Alaska Airlines call center. You can't do it online at the moment, but you can certainly ring and either do it through ourselves and we'll issue the tickets all the way down to Seattle, Portland, wherever it might be, or you can call Alaska Airlines and do that. So that means if you have a problem with a weather incident or there's been a mechanical, either on Alaska Airlines or with Ravenair Alaska, you'll be protected. You won't suddenly have, oh, I've missed my connecting flight. It's the same as though you were purchasing a ticket when you previously with Alaska Airlines, jumping on the flight here and going all the way through. So you're still protected in the same way. If you book it through Alaska Airlines, you will get an Alaska Airlines ticket and you'll be able to gain your points on the mileage sector. Or you can book it through us on our call centre, but it has to be done through either call centre, and you'll either be given a Ravenair ticket or an Alaska Airlines ticket. So you can still have the same benefits of what is called a through ticket, which I'm sure most of you have been purchasing if you're going down to the lower 48 or beyond. Okay, and I know that's been one of the questions that we got a lot from many people. So I think those are the main things. Missy, have I missed anything that we need to talk about? Have I covered most of the stuff? Okay. So I'd like to open it up for any questions. I'd just like to say, before I do open it up, I am not able and not in a position legally to make any comments on the accident, and we have to wait for the NTSB report. So we're trying to look forward, look for the future, and see how we can help all of you here in the community and to help the fishing industry to ensure that your connection to Anchorage and beyond, down to the Lower 48, is still in place. But I can't answer any questions related to the terrible accident.
Derek, Frank Kelty. The comment you just made about you're able to buy the ticket through Alaska, and including the Unalaska to Anchorage part,
yes,
or through you guys. So it leads me to my question is, then why can't we, if we can buy the tickets through either one of the companies, why can't you guys come to an agreement on the mileage plan that we would get Alaska miles? If we can buy the ticket through them, what's the problem on not being able to get credit for the miles?
I'll have to refer you to Alaska Airlines to ask that question.
Okay. So sorry. Is there any discussions about the mileage plan still, or not right now?
We're always discussing the mileage program and how we can add benefit to both programs. Ours is obviously very different to the one that Alaska. I mean, we're not a huge company. We don't have a credit card, which we're just simply not large enough at this stage to have a credit card. But we have looked at it. But that's a question that needs to be directed towards Alaska Airlines.
Well, I just have one, and I understand that, but I hope that you guys are still talking about this. But just my other comment is how important that mileage plan is for people in this community. You know, a family of four, you understand the tickets without a guaranteed ticket would be almost $1,200 round trip per person, and an unguaranteed is, you know, $1,100 at 550. I believe that's what the cheapest,
yes,
ticket is.
Yes.
My concern is the residents that don't have travel benefits, the elders, people on medical issues. That's the big concern. You know, most of the seafood industry travel, the fishermen usually have to buy their own ticket, but a lot of people have travel benefits. But a lot of our lower income people that work at the grocery stores or work in other sectors in the community, some of their employers don't give them travel benefits.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really hard for people that have families to travel. And I'm sure you've heard this issue. And you probably saw it in my letter.
Whether it's Barter Island up on the North Slope or St. Paul, it's a challenge throughout Alaska. But yes, we understand and recognize it.
That's why it's so important, that mileage plan, especially on the Unalaska to Anchorage leg, because that's the most expensive leg, and that's where a lot of people always use their Alaska miles. So I hope there's some discussion still going on. I'll have other questions later on.
We are in discussions. We just haven't got any news at the moment.
I know that we're going to come back to that, but I have a quick question about baggage transfer fees. When my husband and family went to check in, they said that they were going to be charged have their bag transferred to Alaska Airlines. And they were.
Right.
They picked it up
and
took it over.
Were they separate tickets, or was it a through ticket on one airline?
I think they were separate because of the whole issue of the plane
right.
accident
okay.
and everything.
So
what should be happening is that we can connect your bags, whether you are traveling beyond on Alaska Airlines, on Delta, or American Airlines, and the bag fees are applicable to the major carrier in that situation. So it relates, and it should be done this way, it relates to which is the longest leg, and then that carrier's fees apply. But if you've just got a separate ticket and you're going from here to Anchorage and you're connecting on another airline or on Alaska Airlines on a separate booking, then normally our fees would apply. We would charge you, which is, you get the first bag free, and then it's $15 for the second bag.
It's $15 for each bag, or $15 for the first bag, and then they go from there. But we didn't know. I mean, we just got a separate, it should have gone all the way through. It should have been on one confirmation code, but it wasn't because of,
the
two tickets that we bought before the accident. And then Raven, or Alaska, came through with Raven, and there isn't a fee going the other way, Alaska Air to Raven. But from Raven to Alaska Air,
it was a fee. Two things. I know we changed our fees from the 14th of November up, I think it was the 5th or 6th of December. There were different. We were using Alaska Airlines fees, and then we swapped over to our normal bag fees that are statewide, just for simplicity. And the other aspect of that is that we are learning and training our team down here and also in Anchorage and obviously Alaska Airlines as well. But it can be complicated, but the fee should be $15 for the second bag if it's just on Raven. And if you're connecting all the way through, it should be the major carrier depending on how far you're going.
Well, this is just Raven. This was just for Raven to transfer their bags to Alaska Airlines. That was it.
We don't charge a transfer fee, we charge a fee for delivering the bag to the airport. So if it had been checked through, we would probably or should be still charging a fee.
So yeah, they were going to check it through all the way from Alaska to Portland.
Right.
And from getting it from Raven to Alaska Airlines, it was a, there was a bag transfer.
Right.
So are we going to have that every time we order, or are we going to ticket?
Well, I apologize, I don't know what the distance is between Anchorage. I think on that occasion, if you're going all the way to Portland, the major carrier would be Alaska Airlines, so Alaska Airlines fees should apply.
No, fees Alaska Airlines.
Okay, well, there should be.
So yes. I think what Derek is trying to say is that the if you started here, is that correct?
Yes.
So the fees of the major airline are what they should have charged here.
We have never been charged before, never.
Right, because Alaska Airlines had a Club 49 program, and we don't honor that program.
So it's Raven that is charging us.
Exactly.
So right now, with the relationship that we have, just like with the mileage program, those are all programs that are Alaska Airlines. They're not Raven programs.
But it doesn't go the other way. I mean, if I were flying from Portland to here, Alaska Airlines isn't going to charge me to transfer to Raven.
Well, they are the main. They're probably seeing themselves as the major carrier in that instance. So they wouldn't, if you are on Club 49, they will recognize their own program where we don't recognize that. So we should be charging the normal baggage fees that Alaska Airlines charge on their network.
So anytime we fly to Anchorage, if we want to avoid the fee, we have to pick up our bags and check them in to Alaska Airlines.
Yes.
Hi, my name is Tom Robinson. I'm the tribal president, and I'm here to represent the Unungan and the elder. And I want to speak on behalf of the Medicaid folks that fly out that are Unungan. In here, it states that you cater to the Unungan Family Health Service Center. Now, it's understood, and this has been a frustrating process. If our elder get a Medicaid ticket, and that service is outsourced to a private entity. And the way we look at it, it's a trust responsibility by the Indian Health Services to ensure that the flight service is provided from Alaska to a medical facility. Now, if you have a weather day and you cancel your flight, Medicaid doesn't care. It only shows that they missed their flight. So my question to you, is there cross-communication from your profit-making company to a federal agency that's supposed to uphold the trust responsibility to the young and people on the island?
We work very closely with all those companies, either directly with the hospitals that are booking that or with the travel agencies that are doing it on behalf of Medicaid. They're very important customers for us. We understand the need for particularly the elders, getting them out of all of our communities that we serve around Alaska. We do not treat them any differently, and that's not a negative or positive. And when we identify them, we know they're Medicaid passengers, but they should be treated in exactly the same way. What we have been talking to the clinic here about is continuing the program that I believe was in place, particularly when you've got the haul out or the flights are really full. If we are not able to sell them a seat directly at that stage, is putting them on the standby list and looking for volunteers who might come off that flight to allow someone who's got an urgent appointment to get to that doesn't need Medivac.
From my understanding, you kind of inherited a problem from Penn Air on a policy, a standby policy. You're providing a federal service. Your private company is providing a federal service.
Yes.
The way we look at it, it's a trust responsibility to ensure that our young and elder get from point A to point B.
Yes.
On the trust responsibility from the federal entity. Now, if there's only a standby option, we kind of look at that as a violation of our trust responsibility.
No, because the standby option is applicable when there are no seats for sale and the flight is full. So that's only applicable, the standby would only be applicable when we've been unable, because all the seats are sold to other Medicaid customers or normal customers, and there are no seats available. If there are seats available, we sell them to everybody. So I'm not quite sure. Maybe we can go into the detail afterwards and I can help you understand, or you can help me understand exactly what the issue is.
What I want to know is the rebooking process for a Medicaid patient, regardless if they're Yunnan or private citizen.
They have to go back through the travel agency. We cannot, with Medicaid bookings, we cannot touch those bookings. And they have to be, we have a lot of no-shows and a lot of weather issues throughout the state. And throughout Medicaid, we cannot change that booking without referring to the agent that made the booking. So we have to go back to the travel agency if it's been done by a private company or the hospital who's made the booking.
I think what I would like to elaborate on is the rebooking process. If there's a way to identify a Medicaid patient that is trying to meet a destination to get medical care.
Right.
If you do have a weather day and that flight is canceled, I think there should be
let's talk afterwards. We're getting into legal issues of our compliant and how we identify which passengers go on, and we have to be very careful on how we do that. So
well, that's one thing I wanted to know, does there need to be a cross-agency communication between the FAA and IHS to make sure that our trust responsibilities are upheld, because you have signed up to obligate a federal duty. There is some ownership in this foray.
Can we talk afterwards about it, and then we'll get into the detail of it? And it's obviously an issue that we need to understand fully.
I'm okay. Hungry. I want to go eat.
Well, I can give you my card, and you can contact me separately.
I'll come back up.
Okay.
My question is with your points program. You guys say that every 5 flights we'll get a free one and 10 points, and through January 31st we'll get double points. But in order to book tickets from Anchorage to Dutch, from Dutch to Anchorage you can get out for 50 points, but from Anchorage to Dutch it's 100 points. So we would have to fly the 10 segments to get the free one. And then after the January 31st, we're not getting the double points, then we won't get the 5 segments. So I was just curious if you guys were going to make that anchorage to Dutch, the 5 seconds, 50 points.
So I see. Our program, I mean, if you're talking about December the 26th to January the 21st, probably not, because they're already full.
Well, I looked all the way out through March, and to get back into Dutch, it costs 100 points for the rewards program.
Well, okay, then I'll have a look. It shouldn't be. We should certainly have some of those seats available. There are not, it's anything between 2 and 4 seats a flight. But there should be, thank you, I'll have a look at that. There should be some. So you could get out, but you couldn't come back.
You get out for 50 points, but you cannot come back for less than 100 points.
I'll get on team to have a look at that.
That was through, yeah, the end of February.
Right. Okay, thank you. Gentlemen,
so let's say there's a large delay for multiple days, and you get several hundred standbys, people backed up, trying to fly in here. How are you going to prioritize your list of passengers trying to come out this way or leave? As like in Alaska Airlines, obviously, if you have your rewards program, is that going to rank you the same as with Raven?
Well, it depends. I mean, if you look to your right, there's a gentleman there that we've been meeting with who will be up in Anchorage handling exactly that. Rocky's going to be up there with the other fisheries looking at how we can handle that. I mean, we have a lot of experience from that from Penair teams. I mean, we were involved last year as well. So we will be looking at how we normally do that. The groups with the fishing industry are somewhat different, because if they've got a group of fishermen that need to get back, then yeah, you need to get the fishermen here first because they need to go out and catch the fish as opposed to the processors. And the group priority will be based upon how the fishing company want to handle that. The way that we handle normal is who's checked in first. That's pretty standard through the airline industry. So let's say we have 2 or 3 cancellations in a day. The standby list is based upon who is checked in first. And that's how we handle it. From a logistical point of view of how are we going to handle if we get backed up 200, 300, 400 people, which can certainly happen, that's why we've been working very hard in discussions with the fishing industry and their travel agencies to work out how do we handle that, what are we going to do. We have the ability to do some extra sections. If we're hit with weather throughout the state, I mean, in the last few weeks, basically the Western Alaska was closed. Bethel was closed for 2 days and we get backed up. We will prioritize those communities to get the passengers out there, but we have a lot of other communities that we need to serve when there's bad weather, but we're certainly focused in having the aircraft available because we know there are going to be bad weather days in A season. Out of that season, it's normally pretty handled. I mean, we've had some days here where we've canceled and we've put on extra flights. That's what we do throughout our network, and we will continue to do that to make sure we are taking our passengers to their destination.
May I suggest that when you're trying to figure this out, and however your process goes, that you don't forget that it's not just all about industry here. There is people that call this place their home as well. So please take that into account too.
That's why I made sure. So it's dependent. I mean, if that group is the last one to check in, all those other passengers who aren't with the fishing industry will be prior. It's done on who has checked in first, and the priority has done that. So, and that's pretty common throughout the airline industry around the world. So it's based on not whether you are an individual or the fishing industry or the oil industry, it's based upon who checked in first. Okay? The lady here.
And I apologize if you covered this because I came in just a little late from work, but does Raven have any intention of reimbursing folks that got stranded from the accident for charter flights that they needed to take to get home?
That's something which I'm not involved in. I don't know what's happening with that. I'm sure if you purchased your ticket through Alaska Airlines, that would probably be the place to start.
Yeah, and I also had travel insurance for that trip that I'd taken, and the travel insurance and Alaska Airlines both have told me that Raven is responsible for any reimbursements that will happen. So, and I've not been able to get a Raven representative to call me back or return my emails.
Okay, why don't we get together afterwards and I'll give you some contacts that we can
see if we can try and help you with that.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Gentleman in the green t-shirt.
You only guarantee one bag per ticket. What's your policy for the standby baggage? How long will you hold on to it before it becomes a priority to move on?
Right, so thank you for asking that question. To clarify, because our aircraft are smaller, we want to make sure that we're taking the passengers and one of their bags. As I mentioned earlier, our aircraft are 37 seats. We're actually only selling 33 seats of those so that we can take bags. The second bag is we've put an embargo on that, which means we'll accept the bag and we will deliver it as soon as we possibly can. I know, I think it was last week, we had to get Ace to bring down 17 bags, and that's what we will be doing, and that's what Alaska Airlines will be doing. So if we can't get it on the next flight, we will get Ace to bring those down. And I believe that's what Alaska Airlines has been doing in the past, even, you know, the challenges with the Saab as well. So we'll do it as quickly as we can, and then it'll be your responsibility as the passenger to pick that bag up at either Anchorage or here at the Dutch Harbor Airport.
So even as a through ticket going on through to another destination,
we'll send it on. So if you've got two bags and you're going through to Seattle, we will transfer that bag onto Alaska Airlines or Delta as soon as we can. Okay.
Right.
You mentioned that you get two extra points when you reserve it online.
Yes.
But then you also recommend doing it over the phone when you have a connecting flight so that it's connected to your Alaska or...
Yes.
So that, I mean, doesn't really work out if you're...
I understand that. This is a new challenge for us. We don't have it elsewhere in the network. And throughout our network, you can't book online a connecting Alaska Airlines ticket with Raven. You can do it on Alaska Airlines for some of the destinations. So we've never been able to do that technically. You can only buy our tickets within Alaska. But I'm afraid, yes, at the moment you'll need to call either of the call centers.
And then you said you have 29 seaters and 37 seaters.
Yes.
I'm wondering why wouldn't you just prioritize having the 37 seaters here since we have less flights per day? And I mean, people are moving off the island because the situation is so bad.
During the normal period outside of the peaks of A and B season, we will be using the 37 seater. We're using the 29 seater because we need the additional capacity. So we're bringing that aircraft onto here. So we have, because we've got places like St. Mary's, Aniak, St. Paul, McGrath, and Unalakleet, we have destinations that we can only have 29 seats in. So it takes a long time to put the additional seats back in to make it 37. So from a logistical point of view, we have to ensure that we're serving all of our communities. So that's why we're bringing the 29 seater to provide additional seats during the peaks. But normally, it will be, if the demand is there, we'll have a 37 seater coming down here and selling 33 seats, not 29. Okay? Thank you. Layden.
Hi. So you had mentioned earlier that it's better to call Alaska or Raven if you have a through flight.
Yes.
But I'm wondering, if you call Alaska, can you say, oh, I want to use my Raven points from here to Anchorage and then my Alaska Airline point?
I'm afraid not. No, it's not. Technology won't allow you to do that, and we've asked that question specifically. You will have to, if you want to use your mileage program, you have to buy two separate tickets.
So it only works for so you're only really protected by the weather delays and whatnot between the two
yes.
the two airlines if you pay in cash.
Yes.
Okay.
But you can show them if you're on a Raven Connect Flyaway Rewards ticket and on Alaska one, you can show them the two itineraries and we will transfer bags.
Right, but that doesn't help you if like the flight gets canceled and you miss your connecting flight.
Right.
Hi, Dennis Robinson. Thank you for having this meeting. Forgiving is easy. Trust and forgetting is the hard part. And you know, coming out and actually doing this is a good thing on your part. There are some things that Raven is doing, basically not doing. the communications between your ticket counter here, between your reservations, between your operations, suck. Nobody's talking to each other, it seems. I ran into a situation trying to get my son back out to Oregon, and they said that the ticket agent here said the plane was canceled. So my wife started making a reservation to make sure she can get him on the next plane to get him back to school. And they said, no, it's not canceled. So there's issues that you need to work hard on, and communication is one of them. Fees, man, I've never seen so many fees in my life. I mean, I go to the counter, and I signed up for the rewards thing a while back, and then I went to the counter to ask if I can get a ticket that was not put on that one, and they said, no, I'd have to call the call center or something, and they said, I said, yeah, but that's going to cost $15, and they said, yeah, right. So if you call in, it's going to cost you a fee of $15 to be able to get something, as simple as, adding your reward points to your program. So that's another thing is, we're not quite used to here, seeing all these fees for everything. Yesterday, you in the call-in program, it sounded like, and you've cleared it up somewhat, but in that program, it sounded like that if your bag got bumped, somebody else would have to come and pick that up for you. And
on the second bag, there's an embargo, which we've had, and Alaska Airlines have had on some routes, particularly in peak season. I know they do this on King Salmon. I think there's some embargoes sometimes down here as well, but. Yes, I mean, we have a smaller aircraft. We do not have the capacity to carry all the bags, and that's a...
So maybe you can explain that embargo.
So the second bag will accept. Yes, there's a fee of $15 for the second bag if you're not a silver or gold member. And the bag will be delivered to the airport, whether it's here down in Unalaska or at Anchorage, that you will have to come and pick that bag up from the airport. If you're connecting through, and we don't send the second bag immediately out of here and you're going to Seattle or Portland, you don't have to come to the airport then. We will send the bag on with Alaska Airlines. But it's when it's just point to point, we ask that the bag is picked up from the airport. We don't deliver that second bag to you at your home address or where you're staying.
So I had to book another flight for my son, which we had planned on doing with Alaska Airlines miles. But to use Alaska Airlines miles from Anchorage to Portland or Seattle is cheaper to pay cash than it is to buy miles. You pay almost twice as much to buy miles to use a mileage ticket than you would pay in cash. The benefit that so many people have worked so hard on was the benefit from here to Anchorage was the key and for utilizing those miles. And I'm going to say some things here that may seem harsh, but I'm saying them probably for a lot of people that won't speak. You've stolen Christmas from a lot of people. Now, I'm fortunate enough that I've been able to pay the other $1,800 to get my son up here instead of using air miles, but a lot of people aren't. And I'm only just bringing one person, and some of these are families that are not going to be able to get out, that have canceled programs. We're going to be losing a lot of teachers this year, simply because they cannot rely on the what you have. You say you're not using the Saab 2000 because of the crash. What happens if you crash a Dash 8 out here? We're stuck with no planes again? That's kind of confusing. Or are you going to start bringing the Conquest in? A lot of people feel, and I'm, like I said, I'm glad you're coming out and clearing a lot of the stuff up, but a lot of people feel this crash was based on an economic decision on Raven's part, to get rid of higher priced pilots. But that's the perception.
And there's a lot of points you've made there. I mean, let me just first of all say that if am I clear in you're asking me whether we had the crash because of economic reasons? I mean, that's just absurd.
Well, no, sending pilots in that have less experience.
No, there is, I assure you, let me answer your first question about Christmas. I'd maybe look at it a different way and say, actually, we've given Christmas to a lot of people because we're actually managing to change our whole schedule. I mean, we have a lot of people around the whole of Alaska. This isn't the only destination we have. Our responsibility is to all our other customers that have been flying with us for many years, as well as yourselves down here through Pen Air. So we have responsibilities throughout the network. The Saab is flying, we're just not flying it here due to the crash, and we have to wait for the NTSB report. So that's where we're at with the Saab. We are using it wherever we can to replace the flying that we've taken out from the dash so we can provide the services down here. And we've spent a lot of time and effort in putting that in place. As far as the schools are concerned, as I said earlier, that was one of the first things that we tried to do. And for the kids, we had discussions with the school yesterday about that very issue on teachers. And that I've heard elsewhere as well through the state as well in terms of availability. We have committed to see how we can help the school with that to overcome and make it more attractive to come down here, because I understand you have a very good quality of teachers that you've attracted over the years down here, and if we can help to continue to do that by having a program in place that benefits those teachers, that's what we're doing with the school to see how we can help on that.